Wholesalers, welcome to another edition of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. I got to tell you something special today, wholesalers. There's something coming. There is something coming, and I'm super excited about it. At the time of this recording, it's around the proverbial corner, so I'm just going to tease you with it. I'm going to tease you with a new book, and the book is called Brotherhood of the Bag, A Wholesaler's Handbook. It's coming, wholesalers. Keep your shirt on. It's coming. I got a great guest for you today. At the end of the 20th century, you know how magazines were putting their best of the century list? They named athletes and leaders and movies, et cetera. Well, in the spirit of that, there's a respected journal in the meeting industry, and its cover article identified top 20 speakers of the 20th century. These had some big names on it. You know, Ronald Reagan, John Kennedy, Franklin Roosevelt, Martin Luther King. Well, our guest today, not on that list. However, he was on a list that arguably is more meaningful to us, because in that same article, they identified the top 21 speakers for the 21st century. And his name was prominently displayed on that list. He's the first person to transcend from our business of investments into the Speaker Hall of Fame. Alan Parise has been a keynote speaker for the Investment Company Institute, Securities Industry Association, the NASD, and a long list of firms, including IBM, the U.S. military, and even the Secret Service. His book, Questions Great Financial Advisors Ask, was named one of the 10 must-reads for financial advisors by On Wall Street. Today, I've invited him on to communicate, to transform what we do as speakers based upon his years and years of most successful speaking experience. Alan, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you, Rob.
So tell me, why did you start coaching? So you're a successful speaker. I know that you coach. What led you to this path of coaching?
Well, it happened a long time ago, and I did it casually for years, but now it's much more serious. It basically this, and this has happened, my guess is, to almost everybody on this call. You're sitting at lunch, and the person that's with you is going to be the speaker, but they're engaging and intelligent, maybe even funny. And then they get up to speak, and you're sitting there saying, where the heck did the guy from lunch go? Why didn't the guy from lunch give the speech? So I created a workshop that's about bringing out the best in a person so that the real guy, the real man or woman, gets up and makes the speech and brings the variety of who they are up there rather than some idea they have of what a speaker is supposed to be or what their manager told them they're supposed to be.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the mistakes that you see presenters making? And, of course, you know, because you're in the business, I know, having walked in the shoes and carried the bag, our listeners, our wholesalers are presenting every single day. So they're not rookies at it, but what are the mistakes that you see presenters making?
Well, and one of the mistakes I've made is virtually nothing on this list I didn't do. You know, the biggest one is an attitude. The attitude most presenters, most wholesalers, most presenters have when they get in front of the room is, here I am. Here's my product, my story, me. Think of the difference it would make if you get this little shift up there that you walk in front of the room, look out at them and say, there you are. You don't say the words. It's an attitude. There you are. It's about them. It's not even about what you say or how you say it. It's about what they get and what they do with it. It's about listening to them, hearing them, not lecturing at them. That to me is the fundamental mistake people make. It's there you are.
So if you were going to name three things that you were going to tell a wholesaler about speaking that would improve their ability to communicate, to connect with the audience, to be authentic in front of the audience, what would those three things be?
Well, one of them would be not to be a slave of PowerPoint. I got a question in a workshop once where a guy was really asking this question. He said, when I write a presentation, should I start with PowerPoint or should I start with a computer, with a piece of paper or just on my computer and start with an outline? And the nickel dropped for me. PowerPoint is supposed to be a visual aid. Most people become a slave of it. So that's one of the biggest things I would tell them. Another one is I would tell them to get a video of you speaking and look at what your body does. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make, and let's take away from wholesalers, talk about a fund manager who's given a presentation at one of the meetings you're at. And it's a good presentation. They take question and answers comes up. And they get the question they're dreading. This is the question they did not want to hear. What happens to their body? Chances are, when the question comes, they will back up. Maybe not a lot, but a little bit. That's human. We'll all do that, or most all of us will do that. But the next thing is, what do they do next? A strong speaker, when you don't have a good answer, comes forward. Not a lot, but a little bit. You don't run away from it. There's a quote that's attributed to Abe Lincoln, when the words don't agree with the body, believe the body. So one of the biggest mistakes experienced speakers make is they give a good talk, they give it in a good way, it's presented, it's organized. What is their body saying? So video yourself, it can be 5 minutes of it, and get a sense of what your body's doing to import or sabotage your message.
Alan, I want to lift out that one piece for just a second if I could, because it really is important, wholesalers, and I think it has applicability, would it not, Alan? Even if I'm sitting in a guest chair and I'm presenting a best sales idea, I'm presenting the attributes of my product, when I get the question that is the stumper of the question, because we've all been there, wholesalers, we've all been asked that question, and our minds were thinking, I haven't a clue. That body reaction is also a tell, isn't it?
Oh, the body reaction. You don't have to be standing. I'm convinced your body's reaction when you're on the phone somehow makes it through the telephone. In fact, one of the experiences I had years ago when I was in grad school was with a marketing professor who brought us in, a couple of us in, to see a telemarketing operation that was in trouble, and he blamed it on their body language, the way they were slumped at their desks. And he made a statement I've never forgotten: if your feet aren't buying it, you aren't buying it, and if you aren't buying it, they won't buy it. So literally, right down to your entire body, does your body buy what you're saying?
What a great concept. So one is slave to PowerPoint, two is body language. What's the third one?
Well, if I had to pick a third one, it would be to have options. A lot of presenters, even experienced ones, are Johnny One Notes. They have one persona that they present, and it is their presenting persona. And they do it beginning, middle, to end. And yet, most all of us have many personas. There's the persona when we present. There's a persona when we talk to the big boss. There's a persona when we talk to our kid who's crying. You're trying to explain to a teenager that life will work out. There's a persona that we have when somebody cuts us off on the highway. And I maintain that if you can learn to tap into just a little bit of that juice, a little bit of those different personas to express different points in the same presentation, it gives it interest, it gives it vibrance, and it gives it that word, Rob, that we keep hearing these days, authenticity. Mm-hmm. Authentic people have different personas. We all do, and yet most presenters have their presenting persona.
Interesting.
And we need more than that.
There's one bullet point that I think is very important for our audience that we discuss. And that is this notion of organizing a talk around a strong opening and a close. And your experience, I'm sure, my experience, absolutely. And wholesalers, you can go out to the Wholesaler Mastermind site and see the blog post that I've written about it, Observing Wholesalers Speaking. Wholesalers are not known for having really strong openings and closings. How can we tune those up? Give us a couple of tidbits, a couple of nuggets about how we can have better opens and better closes.
Just a couple of pre-words. One is a close is a... The last thing you say, study after study shows this, is what they're likely to remember. So you want to focus on the last few words out of your mouth. And you want to plan that as you plan your opening and then stick the middle in the middle. So one is how important it is. With openings, as far as I'm concerned, are the Super Bowl ad of speaking. And most people wait it. Just imagine, the people listening to this have done a zillion presentations. You get up. They look up to hear what you're going to say, and you got them. For how long? You haven't said anything yet. You've got them. For how long? Maybe not everybody, but almost everybody. 20 seconds? 30 seconds? It's a Super Bowl ad. What do most people do? Most people say, thank you very much for having me here in Des Moines. It's great to be with you and this firm. You're also blah, 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 blah. you got to, in football, they call it an explosive start. And that's what you need here, an explosive start. Begin it. I'll tell you, Rob, as you may know, I've had a trademark. I think you know this. My trademark is I'm really short. And when I go up to give a speech, and this I've been doing this for 25 years, I go behind the lectern. There's not much of me visible. My introducer hands me a, or if there's no introducer, I've got it hidden. I grab it myself. What the audience perceives to be a milk carton, it's actually a dish rack that they wash glasses with in a commercial dishwasher. I put it down and stand on it, and it gets the audience's attention. There's a lot of things I've done over the years that didn't work. This thing always works. So far, so good. Knock on wood. It always works. So I had this great opening, and I never really thought about it until I had to do my first conference call. It wasn't the first one, but it was a big one, and I was doing it for a client for one of the securities firms on a Saturday morning. And I know these people are going to be sitting there doing other things. And I said, I got to get them at the beginning. So I took a minor point that I use, and I started this way, 17-1. 17-1. Every day, that's what your clients hear, 17-1. That's what you hear. That's what I hear, 17-1. Now, at that point, what do you think they're thinking, Rob? That's the first words out of my mouth.
Probably that you've gone a little loony, or that you've overdosed on caffeine on a Saturday morning.
That's right. And the other thing is, what the heck is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Right? At which point they've asked me what I'm talking about. And then I started telling them, and it had to do with the ratio of negative news to positive news on local television shows. And the point I was going to make was you got to turn the volume down for your clients. But from that point, I had them. Find a way to start your talk that gets you them at the beginning. It doesn't guarantee success, but if you don't get them at the beginning, it's really hard to get them back.
Alan, let me ask you a question about that, because I think we'd agree that having a little more moxie in your presentation, whether it's in the middle of it, strong close, creative opening like you just talked about, you got to put yourself out there a little bit. You got to take a little bit of a risk. And anytime we take a risk, it has the propensity for failure or success. Would you agree that we got to kind of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and go, okay, you know, I know that standing up saying, thanks for having me in Boise and John, manager, it was great for you to book me, but that's not going to get us where we want to go, so we have to take a risk. Would you agree with that?
Take a chance. It's one of my 7 rules of selling is you got to take risks. You got to get out there. Now, look, by the way, thanking the manager and so on is something you probably want to do. If you do it 2 or 3 minutes into your presentation as sort of an aside, it'll sound more sincere than if you do it obligatory at the beginning. So not only does that waste prime time, but it sounds perfunctory. So sticking it somewhere later on, oh, by the way, you know, John, thanks for having me here. You know, it's great to be with you. That sounds sincere. Yeah, I think you got to push up against your box, and most of us have a box and the things that we're feel safe doing. And all the years I've been speaking, you know, you get an idea and you say, boy, should I try that at the beginning of the speech? And I was doing it was an important talk for me for one of the wirehouses that could lead to a lot of work. And I'm sitting in the back. The guy before me is a big man whose coat, he's a big fund manager, but his coat looked a little big on him. And he tells us that he had left it on Delta Airlines. Somebody had grabbed his coat on Delta Airlines, and this was the other guy's sport coat. And it was too big for him. I'm a little guy. He's walking off. I said, give me your coat. That's true. Don't do that. It's too risky. It's 300 people there. I put on this coat. It could have been a hotel room around my body, okay? Front of the room, like a little boy, first, it didn't know me, first words out of my mouth, I flew Delta too. In the back, when I was, I had this idea, I said, oh, don't risk it. You've got a good talk. This could screw it up. They could be offended. They might think it's trivial. I went through all that stuff. What do you think happened?
Home run.
Run. But I was scared. After all these years, I was really trepidatious, would be a better word, about doing that. You got to do it. You got to have some fun.
I love that. Alan, we could stay here probably for the next 30 minutes and chat on, if not longer, about wholesalers, how you can become better presenters. If you want to find out more, get more tips from Alan, of course, head out to the website. I'll link up his book and his website and information about workshops, etc. But importantly, be sure you're subscribed to I Carry the Bag, the official magazine of wholesaling. iCarryTheBag.com is where you can get a subscription both for yourself and your internal wholesaler. Two for the price of one, as they say. BOGO, buy one, get one free. Alan, it has been a distinct honor to have you on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Great. Can I put it just a plug for Parisse.com? It's P-A-R-I-S-S-E.com, and I'm going to be doing speaking intensives a few times a year, and you're welcome.
Well, I absolutely appreciate that. Wholesalers, join us back here next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.